A few weeks ago, while jogging, I was listening to a podcast with the authors of a book called When Millennials Rule, The Reshaping of America. It was actually pretty interesting. But then something happened. First, one speaker and then another began using, matter-of-factly and by my lights, gratuitously, foul language. Again and again and again. I have to admit, as I was listening to the podcast, all I could think of was, I hope nobody can hear what I'm listening to. Now, of course, my concern was ridiculous because I was listening on my earbuds and there was nobody around. But still, I didn't feel good listening to that podcast. I felt, sullied. I don't know, maybe this is a generational thing, but my reaction was, this isn't for me. Language has power, and it has always had power. And just as a good choice of words has power, bad language can have a deeply negative impact on ourselves, the people we're speaking with, and the people we're speaking about. We focus a lot today on sins of speech. Why is that? Well, interestingly, to the rabbis, the power of speech was understood to be a unique privilege entrusted to human beings, not possessed by any other living creatures, to their knowledge. And it comes with a lot of responsibility. Our essence as moral beings is profoundly expressed in what we choose to say and what we choose not to say. Foul language, or vulgarity, is, of course, one example of what the rabbis called tum'at svatayim, literally impurity or contamination of the lips, which can lower the level of discourse to a very base level. But as bad as vulgarity can be, if you think that it's the worst kind of bad speech, let me give you two words. Big Poppy. In the aftermath of the Boston Marathon bombings, when our city, indeed our entire region, was still aching with pain and shock and anguish, at a time when people were feeling vulnerable, sad, and scared, someone who had previously not been known as a man of words stood up and hit one out of the park. David Ortiz stood up in Fenway Park, and in language that would have made my third grade teacher, and certainly your third grade teacher, blush, electrified and inspired millions of people. He expressed his devotion to our city with determination, defiance, and love. Now, yes, maybe he should have used an editor. But whatever else you can say about what David Ortiz said, it was deeply and emotionally honest. He spoke from the heart. And as the Talmud says, words that come out of the heart penetrate another person's heart. In the Jewish tradition, when we say sins of speech, we actually aren't usually referring to using bad words, even though we certainly know what those are. But rather, we're referring to using language badly. And what does that mean? It means using language to mislead, to distort, to demean, or in some other way to hurt other people. That is truly tum'at shfatayim, the impurity of the lips. That is the kind of repulsive language that all too often leads to repulsive behavior. Consider the Ashamnu. As we saw just a few moments ago when we recited it, the Ashamnu is an alphabetical acrostic with one sin for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, unfortunately, as you may already have discovered, in our machzor, the individual sins are not translated literally. They're translated poetically into an English acrostic, as in, we abuse, we betray, we are callous or cruel, etc. Now, that has power to it, and it has a certain charm, but it doesn't help us understand the meaning of the Hebrew words. If you go through the Hebrew words of the Ashamnu, as I did, you'll find that over one quarter of those sins are sins of language, ways in which we can hurt other people through language. Let me give you an example. They include the letter Dalet, Dibarnu Dofi, which means we have shared demeaning words about others. Or the letter Tet, Tafalnu Shekel, we have been smearing people with lies. Or the letter Yud, Ya'atznu Ra, we have misled. Kaf, Kizavnu, we have deceived other people. Lamed, Latznu, we have mocked others. And Nun, Ni'atznu, we have cursed other people. That's at least six sins right there out of 24, which calculates to be 25%, that are explicitly sins of speech. And if you include several others that indirectly involve speech, it's well over a third. Now, if you take a look at the Al-Chet confessional, the longer confessional, it adds up to a similar percentage. 11 out of 44 are explicitly focused on speech. We have Al-Chet Shechatanu Lefanecha B'dibur Peh, for the sin we committed before you through speech. That's fairly general. But then we have the sin we committed before you, bevidui peh, with insincere confession, or bevitui svatayim, through idle chatter, or bechachash uvechazav, through denial and deceit, or bilatzon, through clever cynicism. These sins of speech that appear in the Ashamnu and in the Al-Chet go well beyond using obscenities. They are examples of using language in a variety of ways to hurt people. First, of course, there's the outright lie. Shekel is how we refer to it in Hebrew. It's wrong to lie. And it's usually stupid as well. Now, it's true in the Jewish tradition we have the notion of the so-called white lie, but let's not deceive ourselves. Lies are almost always bad. When we lie, we let people know that we cannot be trusted, that our word is worthless. Indeed, it's a sign that our relationships are tainted. As a Hasidic Rebbe, Naftali of Ropshitz, once said about a man who is a well-known liar in his community, not only is what he says untrue, but even the opposite of what he says is untrue. Wrap your head around that. And then there is malicious language. Malicious language can be true, but its purpose is to discredit, to demean, to tear down, rather than to build up. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks of England, former chief rabbi of England, details the many different ways we can engage in malicious speech, and he has such a wonderful list, I cannot resist sharing it with you. We can engage, he says, in character assassination, insinuation, the spreading of suspicion, the sowing of unrest, derogatory talk, depreciation, backbiting, and bad mouthing. When we use language maliciously, we undermine the pillars of our society. We treat others as objects, not as human beings worthy of respect. There is yet another kind of bad speech. Silence. Shtika in Hebrew. The absence of speech when speaking is called for. What does it say about ourselves when we fail to speak up for someone who is being mocked or bullied or put down or treated poorly? The rabbis say, Shtika kehoda'a dame. Silence is akin to assent. Our failure to speak turns us into accomplices in verbally harming other people without ever opening our mouths. There's an insightful and powerful saying in Hebrew from the book of Proverbs, Mavet v'chayim biyad halashon. Life and death are in the hands of the tongue. This saying recognizes that we can do a lot of damage with the wrong choice of words. What should we do in the face of the very real damage that we can cause through improper speech? Should we take a vow of silence? Some people thought so. There used to be a Jewish pietistic practice known as the Ta'anit Dibur, a fast, a ta'anit, from speaking, dibur, comparable to the fasting from food that we're all engaged in today. This is based on the famous saying in the Mishnah by Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, I have found nothing better than silence. Silence is hard. Last March, a group from our shul went to the Kripalu Meditation Center in the Berkshires. And one of our meals in the dining hall was designated a silent meal. Just one of our meals. For me, that was long enough. It lasted maybe 45 minutes, but it was hard. By the end of it, I was ready to say something. Anything. I know a number of people, including some rabbinic friends of mine and others as well, who participate in silent retreats that last for several days. They find them meaningful. But even people who have practiced and have championed the idea of a ta'anit dibor, a talking fast, recognize that sometimes it's more important to speak kind words than to be silent. Choosing our words so that they are kind words, that's a choice we have to make each and every day. A friend of mine was once asked to officiate at a funeral for a woman who had had 5 children. He met with the children, and they told him, look, frankly, we have nothing kind to say about our mother. And if you say anything nice about her, we are going to walk out of the funeral. This is the MS truth. What do you do in a situation like that? Well, it was the beginning of a conversation. And by the end of that conversation, those children had found words that were honest and true, and which nonetheless gave credit to their mother for ways she had taught her children life lessons. None of those children walked out on that eulogy. We need to know when to be silent and when to speak. We should not be silent as we witness the deterioration of the level of discourse all around us. We should not tolerate it. We should speak up and protest when we hear of lies or deceit or contemptuous speech passing as acceptable discourse. We should condemn it. And we should stand up for truth and decency. We should condemn disrespectful disagreement as well and champion civil and respectful discourse. As corrosive as evil speech can be, that's how redemptive good speech can be. Redemptive speech may not even require a lot of words. Tomorrow afternoon, we will be reading the book of Jonah in Shul. Jonah has a weighty challenge to prophesy against the city of Nineveh and convince the inhabitants to repent. He does everything possible to avoid this responsibility. But finally, he assumes his prophetic burden and he gives a speech to the people of Nineveh. And it consists of 5 words. Od arba'im yom v'Nineveh nepachet. In 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. 5 words in the Hebrew. And yet, as we know from the book of Jonah, those 5 words were responsible for saving the city, all 120,000 people within it, and their animals as well. We need to use language, good language, to support and strengthen one another, not to diminish or to demean one another. Let's refrain from saying the wrong things, and let's be sure to say the things that need to be said. Let's apologize when we should. Let's tell our loved ones we love them frequently. And let's use speech to express thoughtfulness and kindness and sharing. Now, I'm convinced, I should say I'm sure, that much of what I'm saying here tonight sounds reasonable. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be saying it. And I'm sure that many of us will want to try to speak better in the year to come. But within a day or so, certainly a week, our memories of this day will have faded. How can we maintain our resolve? Rabbi Joseph Telushkin has a helpful set of recommendations in this regard. He says that we should set some modest goals. For example, he says, let's resolve not to engage in gossip or malicious speech at least once a week. Say at our Friday night Shabbat dinner. Okay. Maybe, he says, we could resolve not to engage in such speech for 2 hours every day. He takes pains to urge us to choose daytime hours to fulfill this responsibility. Above all, let's use common sense. Let's not say everything that comes into our heads. As the great Jewish humorist Sam Levinson once said, it's not so hard to be wise. Just think of something stupid to say and don't say it. As we begin 5777, let's hope for a year in which, in our personal relationships and in our society at large, good language is a blessing to us all. A year in which our language is honest and loving, edifying and uplifting. That's the vision that the prophet Malachi had. At the end of the book of Malachi, looking to the future, he said, Az nidberu yir'e Adonai ish el re'ehu, vayakshev Adonai vayishama, vayikatev sefer zikaron lefanav li'yot'e Adonai ul'choshvei shemo. He says, then those who revere God will respectfully speak and listen to one another. And God will pay attention and will listen to them. And they will all be written in the book of remembrance. What a beautiful high holiday vision. When we do it right, when we speak and listen to one another with mutual respect and appreciation and affection, God pays attention. God listens. And we are given credit for that. What more could we ask for? Shana tova umetuka, a good and a sweet year for all. Amen.